Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 16th of November. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. And also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there. Happy Monday.
Thank you. And so Charlotte, I'd like to start with you. Because you installed Big Sur over the weekend.
Yes, that was my exciting UK lockdown Saturday night. I am really living the dream.
Well, you know, some of us are. And so I'd like to know, as a person who has been at this for a couple of days now, how you feel about it and like what the process was like, what kind of changes you needed to make, that kind of thing.
So the process was easy. Dave will explain more, but there was a whole load of issues related and unrelated to Big Sur. When people first started downloading it, whatever it was, Thursday night or whatever, there was a collection of problems last week. And I knew I was going to leave it anyway till the weekend when I wasn't, you know, I have my one machine that's my daily driver, if you like, my key work machine, and I wasn't going to muck around with that on a work day. So I left it till, you know, a quietish Saturday, and that was great. And actually after, I mean, I needed to sort out some memory stuff. That was my own fault for not storing stuff in the right place in the cloud. But basically once I had the capacity on my computer to download and install the update, it worked very quickly. It didn't take very long to download and it did not take very long to install. And everything was kind of as I would hope it would be when I turned it on. So far, I haven't got into anything that's made me encounter a problem. I'm using a relatively new machine, a 2018 Mac Mini. I am reading stories and community forum posts about people who are finding problems using older MacBook Pros, which is apparently, the update is apparently bricking those. So I want to look more into that before we warn people to do or not do anything, but it's an issue to be aware of. And if you have an older device, you may want to read some of those forums and links we have on the Mac Observer to make sure you're doing something that is okay for your machine. As you know, I texted you, Kelly, as soon as I installed it, my hot take, which was, Kelly, my machine looks like an iPad and I'm not sure I like it. So that was my hot take. Sort of 48 hours or so on, I'm a bit more chilled about it and I can see there's nice things. And I suspect I'm going to get used to it. And by this time next week, I won't even notice it anymore.
That's definitely been my experience. I started running, you know, as soon as the betas were out, I put them on an external drive with my MacBook Air, which always becomes my test machine in these sorts of worlds. These sorts of, and by worlds, I mean every summer. I checked it out, but I did not use it as my main operating system on that until maybe about a month ago. And then I made the migration and, you know, it just became my OS. And I went through exactly the same thing that Charlotte did. It's like, what happened here? Why is there so much space between my menu bar items? What happened to the contrast? My windows all look washed out, you know, that whole thing. And then, you know, after about a week, it was like, oh, right, I'm running Big Sur on this machine. Sure. Okay. I can do a different thing or whatever it was, you know, and it's been fine. There are some little quirks. We talked about a few of them on Mac Geek Gab this morning, but nothing terrible and mostly quirks that, like, the biggest one I found is that the preferred shell that I use, Fish Shell, uses lots and lots of CPU under Big Sur. So I don't use Fish Shell anymore. Right. But that's a really geeky issue to have. I mean, if you've customized your own shell, you're going to, like, you're someone who's going to be aware that your shell's not running the right way. It's not going to happen accidentally to, you know, like, this is, like I said, this is like super geeky stuff and not altogether surprising that would be the thing that was a problem, right? So, but by and large, it's been running really smoothly for me on the two machines that I put it on. Perhaps the smoothest for me that a new Mac OS has gone. And I can't remember how Catalina was, but I think it was a little rough at first with a few things. So I really do think that I'm not ready to put it on the podcasting machine up in the studio yet, and won't be for a while until my audio plugin vendors tell me yes. But given what we learned this morning about how Big Sur brings Thunderbolt hubbing to all Thunderbolt 3 Macs, my studio machine is a 2019 iMac with only two Thunderbolt ports, so that may well be the thing that pushes me to Big Sur way faster than I might have gone previously. So there you go.
Another thing I'll jump in on is, actually, I don't normally, we've discussed on the show before my objections to Safari and how I came back round to it and my sometimes dislike of mail. I've decided with Big Sur I'm going to give all the native Mac apps another chance. And so far, everything is very smooth. Obviously, synchronizing across Apple devices is always going to be pretty easy. But all those native apps seem to be working well. There's a few third-party apps I want to start playing with, things like Logic Pro, some of the DJ software, those kind of things. I'll be very interested and will report back when I've had a chance to really dig into how those perform. And there may be the type of thing that you don't notice on that much on a Mac, one of these current older Macs, whereas, you know, a new M1 machine might be the thing that makes the difference for those kind of apps and processes. So we'll see. And I also want to check out iMovie and its ability to edit HDR video as well, which I think you can do. Take HDR video on your iPhone and edit it in iMovie on your Mac. And I'm very interested to see that, because I don't normally use iMovie very much. I use other tools, ScreenFlow and things like that. So I'll be interested to see how kind of 4K video and HDR video and all that kind of thing works within the Mac, within the Big Sur world.
And that is interesting, because it always sort of seems like there's something that comes to iOS that, in order to get full utility out of it, you also need to upgrade macOS. So, like, we had AirDrop was one of those. Last time around, I don't remember if it was Mojave or Catalina, was like reminders and message, or reminders and notes. Like, they wouldn't sync unless you upgraded your macOS version, so that everything was sort of using the same syncing. So maybe in this case, it's being able to edit that video is the thing that, if you've got it on your phone, you need to upgrade your computer so that you have access to all the same stuff. So that might be it.
Yeah, I've been, along those lines, I've been really appreciating the changes to messages on Big Sur, right? Because now it does have feature parity with iOS, including the favorites at the top or the pinned chats at the top, and message replies, and all that stuff is fantastic. I'm really pleased with it. Yeah.
I suspect this will be a topic we come back to both later in this show and in the future. But I think that all of that and the feature you've just described, Dave, really typifies this, is it's all starting to feel very one platform, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And of course, you know, with M1, there you go, right? It's truly one platform. Yeah. I had a friend of mine this weekend, you know, post something a little snarky on Facebook, but it was, you know, in response to me ordering an Air, and he said, "Oh, I'm so happy. My high end computer has the same CPU as my phone," which I laughed about. And of course, no one would ever have accused an Air of being a high end computer before. However, the fact that the Geekbench scores show that it's about 10% faster than the top of the line MacBook Pro Intel.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is. Like, I never thought of it that way before, but yeah, it is one platform. I was talking to somebody about something, and I found myself saying it is this with, you know, some device feature specific flavor of Apple's OS. Right. And that's really what we have now, is we have Apple OS.
Right.
And Big Sur is a piece of that that is geared towards computing, right? iOS is a piece of that that is geared towards a phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, including tvOS and iPadOS and watchOS. But it is all the same. Like it at the core, the foundation of it, which is called foundation, is the same. And that's what allows Apple to do all of these things and give this unified experience in a way that, gosh, you know, I think about one Microsoft, right, where they wanted to make everything the same across platforms. Apple, as much as you complain, Charlotte, about it feeling like your Mac turned into an iPad, I feel you. I also think Apple did that better than Microsoft did with their one.
Oh, sure.
You know, one
for Microsoft sure. And I also say that as a person who likes it when the iPad, that my iPad often feels like a Mac.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, yeah, right. My snark to you, Dave, would have been, it's really nice that my high-end computer and my laptop will have the same processor.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to jump in here really quick and take a minute to talk to you today about our sponsor. Our sponsor is MacPaw. MacPaw is a software company that makes CleanMyMacX. Yes, it is the letter X, not 10. This is all-in-one cleaning and optimizing software for your Mac. It helps you with maintenance. It can declutter some of those temporary files and some of those cache files that you don't actually need to keep on your machine. It'll help clear some of that up. It can run necessary maintenance scripts. So the things that normally happen when you restart your computer, part of that is maintenance. And they can help you with running that. They can help you also get rid of old files and give you a much nicer view into what your computer's actually up to, including a nicer way to look at the activity monitor. Like you get something out of Clean My Mac X that is a little nicer than what activity monitor can show you. And the whole thing is geared up to be fully compatible with Big Sur. So if you want to find out more and get your free demo, you can do so at macpaw.app/TDO. That's MACPAW.APP/TDO. MacPaw.app/TDO for your free demo. And I'd like to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show today. Now, Dave, as you've mentioned, you've been at Big Sur for a while because you've been running, you ran like some, I guess, later stage betas, we'll call it. To kind of find out what you were in for.
To find out what y'all were in for, but I am part of y'all, right? Like I knew at some point I was gonna have to be in there, so that's really it.
So and overall, you have, like you said, you found it a pretty smooth experience overall as far as transitioning. How is it, this is the thing I want to get to, like the upgrade process for you wasn't too bad. So what is it like to have a machine that is on Big Sur and a machine that is not and go between them?
Because it
looks not different. And that's usually the thing that I have the hardest time with when something changes, is if I'm using something on one machine and not the other, like the visual of it, like, oh, that's in a different menu place, is usually not a big deal. But when I stare at it all the time, that's the part that usually messes with me.
Things like, well, messages for sure is it when I'm on a machine that's not Big Sur or iOS 14 now, and I open messages, it's like, oh, right. You know, I don't have that, what I'm used to. It really has become part of my workflow to be able to reply in line and do all those things. So it's like, it's fine. So those types of things, the menu bar is still kind of a thing as I bounce back and forth. I do still long for my Catalina menu bar, and I like it when I go up to the studio. Well, because it's just way more compact. I feel like maybe somebody will find a defaults write command that we can go to the terminal and use to shrink the extra space, the padding that's there in the menu bar. One tip I will share.
Yes, please.
If you are someone who likes to have things in your menu bar, especially if you're an iStat menus user, and especially if you have something else showing you the time in the menu bar. For me, it's iStat menus. I like to be able to click on that because I see a calendar with time zones and the way I want to see it.
Yes, well, I'm listening. That person is me.
Here's the problem. With Big Sur, you can no longer turn off the clock in the menu bar. the Big Sur clock must be there all the time because clicking on the clock is what brings up notifications and some widgets.
Okay.
Yeah. However, there is a great little workaround, and I'm trying to find where it is because it's not in an obvious spot. You can set the clock to be the analog clock in the menu bar instead of the digital clock in the menu bar.
Okay.
And that solves this problem because instead of it being this, right, this big long thing, it's just like if you've seen the analog clock in the menu bar before, and it's been an option for years, you've probably looked at it and said, why in the world would anybody ever want to do that? Well, whoever created that analog clock saw you today and they wanted you to have this option. So I'm trying desperately to find where that is. It is not in date and time. But it will, it is somewhere there. It's not in general either. We will find it before the end of this episode. So keep listening. Stay tuned.
Watch the space.
I have to say, I don't like the clicking on the clock. Say that three times backwards. But, I don't like that bringing up notifications, in the way, like I think I did it just to check the date or something, you know, just whatever reason one would, or check the time in another country or whatever, you know, a normal clock thing. And I didn't like, and then suddenly I had a load of notifications and I was a bit disconcerted, and I now get that that's a feature, but I'm not totally convinced about it. You can still do the two finger swipe in the right to get your notifications up as well.
Right. Okay. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little wonky. It honestly, it feels like too many things are shoved into one piece of one user interface element. Like,
right. Exactly.
All this stuff slides over and it's like, I get stacks of notifications because it can't show me everything that's there. Mm-hmm. And then I have these widgets below and it just feels a little. Yeah. And
clock is not where I go for notifications. Clock is where I go for time things, not notifications. So the little
I think that's what threw me. Exactly.
The little bulleted list thing that I click on now in Catalina is not there anymore. Oh yeah, right. For those playing along at home, I upgraded to Catalina like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, so, no, that's not there. The clock is the rightmost thing of the menu bar. Therefore, that's why that's where you go for notifications.
Okay.
Or as I say, you could do this swipey thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
So if you want to change that clock to, well, do we want to tell them now or are we going to make them wait? Oh, we'll make them wait till the end. It's fine.
We can save it till the end. Because what I'm going to do right now is point out to people that apple.com/feedback is where you can go tell Apple that this is a terrible idea and you want it fixed. Because like that's been there forever. Apple.com/feedback is where you can go and file any sort of, I suppose we should, you know, talk about this a bunch more in the future. Maybe we will. This is where you can go and talk about iOS software, macOS software, whether it's apps from Apple or it's the operating system itself or it's the piece of hardware. So like if you have beef with your touch bar, this is where you can go tell Apple about it. If your HomePod doesn't listen to you, whatever, you can go here and send Apple that feedback. And it is a thing that I believe works because I know when lots and lots of people have talked about sending something through the feedback page that in some cases those are things that get changed, maybe not the way you want them, but at least like maybe some concerns get addressed that way. So apple.com/feedback is probably the place for you. And I will also put in here as another Big Sur tip, if there's a reason that you're not upgrading, and we're not judging you, but if you're not upgrading or you just can't do it right now, you know, you're like Dave or like I am where I have a little trepidation about plugging external hardware into my Big Sur machine because I want to make sure everything's working the way that it should. There is a tip. It involves a terminal command and we'll have it over at macobserver.com. I'll have a link to it in the show notes so that you can copy and paste instead of trying to listen to me tell you it on the show. That you can use it to block that update because for people who are running, I think Catalina and Mojave, and it may even go back to like High Sierra. If your machine is eligible, you now have a software update hanging out waiting for you, and that software update is not a better version of Safari or a security patch for what you have. It's Big Sur. So if you want to not get updated every day, that you should be upgrading your operating system. We will have a tip for blocking that. And now, Dave, I'm going to go to you and hope that pointing out the feedback page gave you enough time.
It did, yeah. So, hooray! Yep. In fact, this is not a bad place to go. It System Preferences, Dock and Menu Bar in Big Sur has many new things. And in fact, if you're interested, going through every system preference pane, especially ones that seem new to you. Yeah, like this is where you can find cool stuff. And the accessibility one is where you can find really cool stuff.
That's the magic. Yes.
Yep. That's the features that coming soon, right? But if you go to System Preferences, Dock and Menu Bar, scroll down to the very bottom. It's organized into four sections, three sections, depending on how you cut the mustard. But at the bottom, there is a section for Menu Bar only. So again, probably, I don't know, maybe it should be Dock and Menu Bar. I wonder if it should be Dock and then Menu Bar separate. But anyway, I digress. At the bottom, you will see Clock as one of the Menu Bar only things, and Time Options gives you digital versus analog. Set it to analog, the clock will collapse down to, you know, one icon with, and then you can have your own clock or not. You know, obviously no one forces you to have a digital clock in the thing. So, but yeah, like there are some cool things down there. For example, like Siri, if you don't use that on your Mac or don't use it that way on your Mac, uncheck it from the menu bar. You know, you don't have to have Time Machine in the menu bar.
Yeah.
You don't, like, this is all customizable there. And at the top of Dock and Menu Bar, Control Center is now a customizable thing that you can control. So there's lots of user interface tweaks that you can make here.
Yeah, definitely go stroll through the preferences. That'll be very, very, very informative as far as making your computer do what you want. That's kind of always the case every time there's a new upgrade, is there's some new panel or something got moved and you should go check it out. So that's going to do it for us today. If you have more Big Sur questions, there are other folks at Mac Observer who have installed it someplace who will be happy to help you with that. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com, where I am also taking birthday wishes because today is my birthday. And you can also get us at TMO Daily on Twitter and by leaving comments in the show notes. So thank you both for being here today. Dave, thanks so much for coming by, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and happy birthday, Kelly.
Thank you, Dave. Charlotte, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, birthday girl.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.